to A Nightmare on Fear Street.
We're Trent and Sheree, and we're chatting about the fiercest genre.
Expect hot takes, cold drinks, and a couple of fights.
Check out the link in the episode description to connect with us via the usual socials, Patreon, and our YouTube channel. All right, everyone, we are here, and today we are covering When Evil Lurks with Alma, our good neighbor.
Yay!
Hello,
like a good neighbor, Alma is there.
Alma is here.
Yeah, better be following Fifth Street. It's a threat. You're welcome. But yeah, Alma's here because we are in the middle of, it feels weird to say that because the other two things have already, it's a whole thing we have to edit, y'all. If y'all listen, y'all listen. But we are in the middle of our month of Get Behind Me 23, where we look back at 2023 one more time because there were some more movies we wanted to cover. And this was one of them because she's a moment.
Yes, yes, she is. But before we get into When Evil Lurks, we're going to get caught up with Alma a little bit. She's on the pod a lot, but she be doing stuff. So, like, we got to always get caught up. So, number one, what you been watching, reading, playing? What you been doing? What you been up to?
All right. Well, I've been trying to get my shit together, number one.
Haven't we all?
Yes. So now I am I'm going to be a solo podcast. I'm not going to say I am currently because I haven't released the new season, which I'm hoping will begin at the end of January. I started recording. I have some recordings and a couple of them sound like really rough to me just because I'm alone and it's like, ha ha ha, waiting for someone else to laugh and join in and then there's nobody there. So I'm working on that editing of my own thing. But the best thing about I found, it was kind of easy to find material because I kind of wanted to cover a couple of the lists that I had made from last year and like my favorites list and my favorite Spanish horror kind of thing. And so it wasn't easy. It was easy to find material, but just kind of like difficult learning to record on my own. So that's what I'm doing. And I also was not going to bother anybody starting solo, like come join me until I got, you know, the hang of doing it by myself. And then I will bug everybody, including you all. Yes. Please, please come join me. And so that I don't have to be laughing in this room all alone.
No, but like there's something to be said for knowing what you want before you like invite people over. Like we definitely didn't have guests for a hot minute. Cause you're like, what the hell is we doing? It ain't ready yet. And also,
and it's good because those 3-hour episodes were.
I was like, for who? For why? Michael Myers ain't done all this.
Why are we still talking?
Listen, I can't listen to this no more.
You know, it's true. When the beginning, my sister and I would record, it's like, we got 2.5-3 hours of recording here. We're going to have to cut this down. Like, no, this is 3 hours of us just talking and laughing.
Is this a mini series? Is that what we just made? But also, like, I love your list because, like, a lot of people are like, oh, yeah, I know some international horror. I know some Spanish horror. We know the same 5 titles because this is basic America. And you're like, no, no, no. There's this really good one over here you don't know about. And all this wild shit happened. I'm like, excuse you. Puts it on my list.
I do. I really like to research, like, look things up big time.
So Alma can help us all out. Alma, what is the Spanish horror movie that we're all sleeping on?
This movie is When Evil Lurks. Oh, you're talking about like a movie that you haven't seen yet.
Yes. Right. Or that you just don't talk about. Well, not that we have or haven't talked about it, but like what do the people need to like get on?
Oh, okay. For fun, I keep recommending Pussycake.
Yes.
It is hilarious. Like it's gross.
Yes.
It's really exciting. It's like sci-fi horror. It's just like it's juicy in the wrong way.
Yes.
You know?
But
also it's got like little sexy bits in it. I really like it. And for like newer stuff like that, like Witchin' and Bitchin' is really good.
Oh.
Dia de la Bestia, what is that? Day of the Beast is it's like a New Year's horror. It's like that the priest who is trying to stop the end of the world. So those are 3 really good, more recent titles. Now that one's not so recent, but they're really good and exciting, I think. They're easy to follow along. I always say that about Spanish language horror. I think the pacing is always like nice and even. So even if you have to read the captions, you're not missing out on anything on the screen.
Yeah.
We should have done that one for years.
I was just about to say that New Year's movie is probably, it can't be worse. It is definitely better than New Year's Evil that Sheree and I put ourselves through this year.
I just rewatched that one too a couple of days ago.
Evil. You're all welcome.
Listen, I was like, if you need a reminder, the 80s was about Coke. This is a movie. Oh.
And apparently Ambien, because that's what that movie, everybody was on Ambien.
Everybody was so laid back. people who are not laid back are the people in this movie, because they got real problems.
True. But before we get into Alma, plug your socials, both for Fifth Street and yourself, and anything else you want to plug, websites, all the above.
Okay, my personal one is at Alma Lovely, and that's on everything. Alma, AlmaLuvLee. It works really nicely because my middle name is Lee, so I just stuck the love in there, like, you know. And so Nightmare Movie Podcast is our website, nightmaremoviepodcast.com. And then Instagram is at Nightmare on Nightmare Movie Podcast. And then I'm still on Twitter. I love to use it. It's like pretty much the only place I can really find y'all and everybody. Cause it gets so, it's like messy on socials. It's like, I want to find everybody, but I can still find mostly everybody on Twitter, and it's at Nightmare on Fifth on 5TH.
We just need to make, like, if Sheree and I understood technology, we just need to make like a Fear Street Twitter, like the whole other Twitter that's not called Twitter. It's like a Fear Street Twitter. And we just invite all of our friends onto it.
It's kind of Discord's becoming, because the Discord be hopping.
Yes, I follow y'all's now, and I try to check in, and I'm like, I need to do this one more, because it is. Like, your patrons and the people who follow y'all are really good on there with, like, keeping up to date with stuff, asking questions, saying what they're watching and stuff. And I'm like, maybe I'll make one when I premiere my new season, because I'm like, it's really great. Great suggestions, movie suggestions, and keeping up to date somewhere where everybody who listens to your podcast can find you.
It's been really awesome. But also, don't let the people forget, you are also the co-owner of Horror Movie Blog, which I'm not biased, is one of my favorite places to write.
Yes, and that is what I want to be working on here too in January, is what I want to make sure. January, I was looking for a fresh start. I really didn't worry about the end of the year, but for this year, horrormovieblog.com, and you can still send pitches over to morehorrorplease@gmail.com if you have a pitch, and if you want to be over on horrormovieblog.com. And it also has a Twitter of the same name.
One of my favorite places I've ever written. I owe you some stuff now we're talking. But you know what? That's fine.
As Sheree said, we're all trying to get our shit together. So without further ado, let's also talk about some people trying to get their shit together. Because good God. All right, let's get to Wind Evil Alerts. Alma, what's one of your first thoughts?
Okay, one of my first thoughts is I was really impressed by the acting all around. From the kids to the adults, they're really into it. Whether you hate the character, whether you love the character, they're all really strong, and they really are that character. Especially because this is one of those movies where there's a lot of children, and they're like evil, or they're good, doesn't matter. But they're just like really good. And even the adults, there's like one of the characters is like yelling. It's like, damn, like you can really feel their emotions. Like each one of them is definitely the embodiment of what was described or what they were supposed to be.
Yes. Like, I don't know if it was because the tension came on at a 10 and ended on a 10 or what, but everybody was in this pressure cooker together, and there was feelings running high. There was fear. Even the dog was like, I know my role. Let me get in my light. And I was like, what the fuck is we watching? Oh my God.
Like, when that dog snatched that little girl's head, I was like, oh shit, bitch.
We knew something was going to happen. We knew it was going to be like that. I was like, oh right. No, fuck them kids for real. If Fuck Them Kids was a movie, it'd be When Evil Lurks, y'all, just saying.
True. I will say, I agree, all the acting is great, but I don't know that I've ever been more frustrated with a character as I was with Pedro. I wanted to shake him for like 75% of this movie. Also Ruiz, but we'll get to him later. But like, did he ever listen to anyone except himself? Like, he literally is the reason Mirtha dies. He is the reason. The kids killed her, but he's the reason it happened. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mars strike been the worst at all times.
Yes, that's my platform. Vote for me. I feel like up top, I got him. He's like, oh no, we fucked up. Let me get my family, get the fuck out. Family at all calls. And he was like, I got to leave this daughter and this mother, that kid's dead anyways. Me and my boys are gone. And then something happened. And I don't know what it was because his brother talked him into staying at that house. I'm like, no, you know, you gotta get out of here. And he's like, we'll stay. And after that, he's like, I'm making all the bad choices. But also he just watched his dead wife leap out a window with his son. So who knows?
I also will say, when he got to the house of his ex-wife's house, who has a restraining order against him, which that's questionable too, because at one point, and it could be brothers taking up for brothers because that's what family does, but like Jimmy is like at one point says that she made a bunch of stuff up about Pedro. So I don't know, whatever, but
she was also having an affair. Like, so the marriage was messy.
True. Bessie. Truly. But I didn't feel like he communicated well. Like, he literally knocks on these people's door who have a restraining order against him, barges in, starts stripping his clothes off naked. And then when his wife, ex-wife comes in, she's like, whoa, what the fuck are you doing? And he's like, we gotta go, we're demons. And it's like, okay, but couldn't we have eased them in, like told them the story or something besides stripping naked and screaming demons?
To be fair, when you have demons on your ass, you ain't got time to loop everybody in. You need people to just go in and get formation. But she also said something along the lines of, she let him in to see the kids and now look where they're at. So I think that he'd been easing his way back in when the demon popped off.
Mm-hmm. I think that I do believe that he did have the fault. Like, if you here's, I think, some of the translation issues I noticed when I first watched it. I watched it with Spanish subtitles at first, and then in English subtitles, and I think a couple of the little points were a little confusing or didn't come across right. I do believe that he did try to kill his family and, well, his children and himself at some point. That's the incident that the police officers referred to.
They do mention that he tried to kill his autistic son. I can't think of the name of his name, but they do mention that he did not want him, and he tried to kill him.
But I think that they were together, and I think, because at first I was reading the bottom in the English and I was like, that doesn't seem to be, and I think now, because I've watched it like 5 times, I think, because I was showing it to everybody, it's like, you got to watch this movie, come sit here and watch this movie with me. But I think that he did try to kill his 2 sons and himself at one point in like a suicide pact. And he was stopped by the local law enforcement because they know everything. And you notice how they were kind of like, are you up to something again? And they keep kind of acting like they shouldn't be believing anything he says because of his mental state. And then Sabrina, the wife, is like, I'm finally letting you into their lives, and I feel like an idiot for doing that, and look what you've done to us. So I think that if any other situation, like if he had a good relationship with the wife, she might have jumped into it like, let's get the hell out of here, like you're my ride or die. But she ain't no ride or die. He is like a big old stain on her family, and he's showing up and he's just gonna fuck stuff up because they don't have a clue what he's up to, because they don't know. And also, he just isn't talking about anything. He's not talking about the past or anything at any point, right? Everybody else is bringing it up.
He's just saying words. Demons, house, go, car, demons coming, don't.
Again, stripping, you know, naked. I'm not gonna stick up for men, but also when the demons are coming, you gotta get the fuck out. And so I don't know what he needed to say to her to get her on his side. Maybe she never was going to be, because again, it was a messy marriage and he has a history of being unstable for whatever the reasons. But also, the fact that this small town is everybody's business. I thought that was kind of insidious and very relatable. Because it was like, oh, are you just up to your old shit again? Where's her new husband? Are y'all going to fight? I want to see y'all fight. Look.
And while we're here with the Pedro coming in and getting naked, I appreciated the male nudity. Because both Pedro and Jimmy, my note is Jimmy could get it, because Jimmy is hotter in my opinion. But Pedro, I'm not turning either of them down. Like, if
beards are nice, you know, I'm a beard person, and I'm there for it. And I think we should, if there's more things that we need in movies, we need more male nudity, because we got enough women nudity. Yes. Come on. Yes. Equal opportunity. Yes.
Agreed. Yeah. More balls.
I've always said, for every pair of breasts, I always say a pair of testes. Otherwise, take your movie away from me.
Equal. equal. Yes. One booby, one testy. One.
Tit for tat. Tit for tat.
Both asses. Women ass, men ass. Listen, all of them.
Listen, I'm tired of it being all like, she's naked for plot reasons. I've seen so many movies, specifically on Tubi from the 80s, where people are just like entering the scene, tank first. I'm like, I know what she ate for breakfast. For why? Why? Me, when I was on the Ashes show, Rise of the Dead, last time, we watched a movie where a woman busted out of the shower naked. I'm like, we knew you were naked. We saw you through the door. You had to bust it like a Kool-Aid man. It was not necessary. But it was like, in case you missed anything behind this glass. Ah! And I was like, why?
I got right? titties.
And all the people who kept assaulting her and trying to like fuck her were fully dressed men. And I'm like, oh, or is he cold? Is he cold?
Oh, and speaking of which, the nudity part, like, because he gets naked to take off his clothes, because they're like, you have to leave everything behind. The thing I liked about the movie is, like, even when you know something is going to happen, you still don't know it's going to happen like that.
Yes.
Because the dog was all, like, sniffing his clothes and licking it. And you're like, oh, that dog will get possessed. Because they said anything that touches it, it can get possessed or whatever. And they were talking about dogs and children easily being possessed. But you didn't know the dog was going to do that. Like, you knew the dog was going to do something, even if he killed someone. But you didn't know the dog was going to do that. And so, you know, like, you knew he could do that, but not like that.
That's why I put my snacks down. Because I was watching this movie late at night, because it's a Shudder original. We've seen them. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to watch this one. And I was like, oh! And I put my snacks down. And I don't put my snacks down for anybody, because I like snacks. That's why I have them in my bed. And I was like, ah! That was my favorite scene of 2023. Like, I loved a lot of movies, but that was my favorite scene, because I was like, what the fuck? Because again, like you said, Alma, we knew the dog was going to do something. We did not know it would be like that. And I feel like every 8-10 minutes, this movie gagged us. Every 8 to 10 minutes easily. It was like, guess what? Going big again.
And I also, like, I really enjoyed the concept. I liked that this possession or whatever it is was well known. Like, everybody kind of knew what this was. I forget what they called them. Infected or walkers or...
I'm trying to remember.
Nasties.
The rotten.
That's what it was. Thank you.
Uh-huh.
The rotten. So it was kind of like if possession and zombies and illness horror had like a love child, it wouldn't be this. Because I thought that was really cool and a new twist on possession films, which typically, and y'all know I love religious trauma films. A lot of possession films tend to be the same kind of A plus B equals C. Mm-hmm. You know, like this and this and that. And I like that this one kind of flipped that around and did its own thing with it. I thought that was really good.
Yeah, I did make it a point to write like the new cinematic universe that he created was probably like the best innovation since demon viruses, because in Wreck you have like the demon virus, and this one you have demons are, there's no question that demons are real. The religion has nothing to do with it. Religion is gone, and this is actual, like, being born tangible. These are actual demons that you have to deal with. And I thought that twist was incredible, because you can take that so many places.
Listen, like, even on a micro level, it reminded me of just like the way rumors spread on Twitter. And people know that these are rumors. They know that these are not founded. There is no source cited. And they're just like, let me share it because this person with a couple thousand followers said it. And then it's like, oh, it wasn't true. Who would have known? It's like everybody who reads. You didn't go to Google. You didn't think to research. You were just like, this seems like something I'm going to share because I want to be seen. And so on macro and micro, because like, if you look at like the bigger picture, we are in year 4 of a pandemic and people are still like, I'm not going to wear a mask or wash my hands. I'm invincible. And so like the spreading while people are informed but don't want to be informed is just constant.
Like the amount of men that shot something, even though they knew that that was going to infect, like whatever. Also, so on Letterboxd, because I put my review up on Letterboxd, and then I saw some other people's, and generally I'm on the same wavelength with most people, but there was one person that gave it a pretty low rating, and I was kind of surprised by it, so I went and looked, and their biggest, when I say lower, it wasn't like low, but it was like not 4 or 5, which is what most people gave it, and he said that he wanted more information, like more answers, more questions answered. I actually felt, because I feel like in the beginning of the film, I felt that way. Because I was like, what the fuck? But halfway through, when the mom gets involved, and when Murta gets involved, I feel like I get enough of that backstory. I found that fascinating. I want a sequel, or I guess it'd be a prequel, that's like Murta's story. Like, I want to see that, because it seems like she started this. When she's like, we are the reason that the church is gone, like, there is no church anymore. That's so fascinating, as someone who is fascinated, probably because of my own trauma, but of religious trauma, the church is dead. Mm-hmm. There is no church. Mm-hmm. And that is why we're getting all these possessions and shit. So fucking interesting.
I also want that backstory, because that means they really mishandled that last rotten. But it also means that people should have been in the know. I feel like that person, I don't know who that person is, because I'm not on Letterboxd like that, and we probably follow mm-hmm. different people. I feel like that person just didn't read the subtitles. Because a lot of people put up their phone and they don't speak the language, and they're like, I missed half the movie, but that's not my fault. Bitch, if you mm-hmm. can't, if you ain't gonna give it your attention, turn it off, come back later when you are.
That's why I bring up the pacing of it, because the pacing was good enough, and it's not such a verbally descriptive, like, they're not talking constantly. A lot of it is beautiful, like cinematography, a really great score. A lot of it is visual, you know?
I don't know that all that was beautiful. When I saw that first rotten, I was like, that ain't beautiful now. Hold up.
While we're here though, I'm gonna go ahead and bring this up, because Anthony Jerome knows I'm gonna bring this up. I know he's listening. When Anthony Jerome first started watching this movie, he turned it off at the first rotten. And so when the rest of us are watching it, he was like, "What? Y'all making it sound like I should go back in?" We're like, "You need to." And of course he did, and he was like, "Y'all was right." And I was like, "Yeah."
That first rotten is rough.
Yes.
That's a warning shot compared to everything else we're gonna fucking see though, because this movie is disturbing and shocking and upsetting, uh-huh. and almost every 10 minutes you're getting something else thrown in your face, like, oh no. And that's why I love it, because we need more movies that mm-hmm. put their foot to the pedal and don't let up, and we don't get that often enough.
I wholeheartedly agree about the film. I just, for me personally, mm-hmm. Puss.
I almost threw up.
Even thinking about it, I'm like, ugh.
In my notes, I have a thing about, and the thing, the word pus for me is like a trigger, but it is much worse in Spanish. Sorry. No, because that's why I said in Spanish. There's a special reason why, but you're growing up, that's the word that I heard. It's a different pronunciation, same word, and it just sounds so much grosser. Like, you can feel it, you can see it when someone says it in Spanish or pronounces it in Spanish. And so when I first saw that man and then they used the word, I gagged so huge. I thought I was going to puke in the theater. I thought I was going to puke, and I was like, no way, I'm not going to get up. I cannot believe, I couldn't look at him. And everything about it, I can't even describe it. It's so gross. I'm like, how did they do that? They're just sitting there painting and filling up balloons or whatever. I could smell it through the screen. It was so gross. Yes.
Visceral. It was very visceral. But Alma, I do have to agree. I do think this is some of the best pacing that we have seen in films we've covered on this podcast. Like, there is not a moment, anytime, like, even when I got the slightest, like, okay, I can look at my phone now, it picks up, mm-hmm. something happens. Or, oh, I can breathe, something happened. It continuously continued, like a train, pushing through. And I thought that is one of this film's biggest strengths, is its pacing.
Because it makes you feel like you're on the ride with them. So at the end, when mm-hmm. it's like, is it over? And we find out it's not, which we saw that coming. You feel like you've been through it. You feel like you have fought these demons. You feel like you have fought through this village. Mm-hmm. And you're like, whoo, I'm fucking tired. And it's like, all I did was put my snacks down and lean forward. But I feel like mm-hmm. I ran a marathon.
And that's why I constantly go back to, because I'm always pushing people to watch movies that are foreign language, watch them. But Spanish language, for some reason, it's like, especially this movie, it's like, it's not giving you a pause. There's no wasted time. However, it's all like, if they're not talking, like, think of Jimmy. He's not talking a lot, but it's his facial expressions. It's what he's doing, you know? And even Pedro, like, with everything he's given, when he's not talking, you can follow along what's going. It's like a dreadful, miserable, horrible, just devastating situation. And you can keep up.
Yeah.
And Pedro not talking is the his lack of communication is the reason 80% of these characters die. Like, I hate this character so much. I want to fight him. Like, when he didn't tell his mother that his ex-wife was dead, so when his ex-wife showed up and she's like, oh, I'm so glad you're here. I'm like, if Pedro had fucking told you that this woman is dead, I don't know why he didn't, because the mother knows that these fucking, that's how the possessed or the rotten work. So, like, why did he? Oh,
they should take her aside when they got to that house to be like, look, we're trying to run from the dead mom.
Mm-hmm. He could have taken them aside. He could have taken the mom aside at any point. There was like a miscommunication from the beginning. They're like, I didn't bring any money, the mom said, because you invited me. I have no idea what's going on. Where'd you get this car? Oh, she must have lent it to you. She's answering her own questions because he ain't saying shit. Pedro and Ruiz, they are like the definition I put in the note. Definition of men and their feelings just fucking up everything. What? Just,
I was so happy when his wife axed him in the face.
Was like,
I said,
dude,
good,
he didn't
bitch.
Listen to shit. They don't listen to anyone. And then they expect everybody to know what to do. And that's why it's the relationship that fucks everything up. And he messes up everybody's lives. He gets everybody killed. I wrote, he is the literal disease that is spreading in this movie. Because from one person to the next, his miscommunication, because he doesn't have well-established relationships with anyone, even his brother. Even his brother has to tell her, I'm going to just go do this. He's following along almost like a voyeur, like standing on the outside of everything because his brother doesn't communicate. And then whatever his brother tells him, he just takes it at face value. Like when you mentioned earlier, Trent, about him saying, oh, the wife just made that stuff up, you know, because he's just taking what his brother says. And, you know, he's not talking. Mm. He's not communicating properly. So everybody dies because of him.
Yeah, and like I think that, and Sheree brings this up all the time, so I'm glad I'm getting to bring it up this time. Because yeah, I think Jimmy is the perfect example of yes, all men. Like Jimmy doesn't necessarily do anything that is negative, or like he does listen to Murta. He is trying to get Pedro to do things. Like I do think that Jimmy is more sympathetic than Pedro, in my opinion. But like you said, Alma, Jimmy is taking up for his brother. Jimmy is saying his brother, that his ex-wife made it all up. That Jimmy is, so I do think Jimmy is a good example of, while Pedro is the one actively being toxic and shitty and like the reason these people are getting killed, Pedro is doing that. Jimmy is the one that's allowing him to do
exactly.
That.
Exactly. You got to know when your family is trash. Like I'm number 6 of 8 kids. I got 6 brothers, not all of them are created equally. And so you got to cut your losses sometimes and hope that those babies find out how to be a real person. Which
he's a
do.
Grown man. He enables him at certain points. It's like, look, let's just stay here. And he just is doing everything. Like, go get mom. He just goes and gets mom, right? He's like, what's going on? He has to tell his brother that that the reason he knows that that's not Sabrina on the phone is because he was there when she died. And he has to comfort his brother. He has to comfort his brother after the other situation. He lives with his brother for a reason. This is a grown man. He could be on his own doing his own thing, but it almost seems like he lives in misery just to make sure that his brother is okay, just to make sure his brother has somebody because he needs someone, and he is that person. He's that person. And
100%. It's almost like his brother's illness has become his own because he's taken it out upon himself, which we see a lot of people do that in their families. They're just like, well, I'm going to move in and I'm going to take care of this person and give up my own life. And then like at the end of it, they're like, but who am I? And it makes me wonder if he's only involved in this whole demon shit because his brother's involved. Like, would he have been out and about drinking? Would he have been in a different city or a different town? If not for his brother being like, we do this now because we do this and I want to and you're with me.
Because like, and the whole reason they're in this situation in the first place is because they work for Ruiz. And I have a feeling that the reason they work for Ruiz is because of Pedro, not because of Jimmy.
100%.
And I do think, Murta, my girl Murta, who I loved, she should have went with Jimmy and made Pedro do what Jimmy was doing. Because, switch those brothers and Murta might have lived.
She knew that kid was dead because, again, this mommy sleeps with the maggots. Like, I'm gonna just go ahead and pause. We all love Evil Dead Rise. This mommy needs some of that attention because she was also doing the things. When she leaps from the balcony, you're like, ah, shit. And the next time you see her, she's eating her son's brain like candy out of a fucking jack-o'-lantern on Halloween. Again, this movie is fucking kids.
I was like, I wish I was in the theater, like, I want to rewind that so that when I got home, I did. Like, the fuck did I just see? You know, I love that he's turning the lights on and off in the car because they're not supposed to use the light. So he's just using them so he can find his place in the road. And the first time he sees her, I got chills because you could just see the kid's legs dangling. You're like, oh, that kid's dead. That kid is dead. But I didn't know they're going to show how dead. See, that's what I mean. Like, you know he's going to be dead, but they hit you in the face with the how. And how just, it's just so graphic. It's just like, wow. Like, how did they do that? It's dark, but not so dark that you don't know what's going on. It's like the perfect amount of shit your pants, you know, like closing your eyes too long in the shower.
I had to rewind that moment, so I'm happy you brought that up, because I had to rewind it, because again, I was watching this and I did not know anything because I don't like to know things, and I was like, I'm gonna watch it, and I saw this part and I hit pause and I rewind. I was like, she's not eating a child's brains, we don't get to see that ever, and she was, and I was like, well, my good sis, I'll see you in my top 10.
I want to give this movie a shout out because there's not a lot of representation, or if there is, it's not good representation of people on the spectrum. And like, this movie gives us, and I was a little nervous because also I'm not super familiar with like how the Spanish speaking world handles autism. And when they were talking about the fact that the older brother who is autistic, autistic people tend to be more susceptible to this possession of the rotten or something, I was like, oh, don't tell me this is going to be like a cure to autism. I think they handled it really fucking well. I was just really nervous because I've seen America do it so wrong so many times. And I thought that I was just really happy to see that this was on the spectrum of autism, this character had some fairly severe, you know, fairly nonverbal, fairly, you know, extreme on that spectrum. So I think that they handled it really fucking well. And I was glad to see true good representation of people with autism, people on the spectrum.
Mm-hmm. I saw when I was nervous as well, because when Mirtha first brings up, like, there's something, okay, him, like there's something wrong with him, I thought it was going to be like an issue of, oh, they're going to be mean, yes, or insensitive or something like that. But it was because she was thinking of the possession side. And she was like, oh no, it's not because he's autistic. Well, I mean, it's because he's autistic, but look at him. You're not paying attention to him because you're used to him not speaking. And because of that, you're not seeing that. Look at his hands, look at his feet, look at what's going on with him. And he was so I noticed that Pedro, when he interacts with him, if you notice, he's not yelling at his son for frustrating him. He's frustrated, but he yells at everybody else instead. And I thought, okay, so he's trying to be a good father, but he's still frustrated that his son isn't answering. He can't find the things that his son wants. He's understanding of his son's situation. He only likes the apple ice cream. He's on a schedule. He's not going to get out of the car unless he has it and all that kind of stuff. But instead of taking it out on his son because his son isn't going to, you know, respond to him getting angry or any of that, he's not so much caring, but it's like he takes that frustration because he yells at the brother. He yells at, you know, he's being snippy with the mom. You know, and it's like, come on, I have to change him. And even the mother of the grandma is so sensitive and so caring with both the boys that she's like, I have to change him. You know, we need some clothes. You didn't think about this. Come on.
And this did just hit me. And I'm curious. It was so low because a lot of the older son, I can't think of his name.
Heidel.
Heidel?
Yeah. Mm. Like J-A-I-R-O. Heidel.
Mm. I didn't trust him because, like, when he helped his dad find the keys when he was breaking out at their house, I was like, no. Either he's nonverbal, he needs all this help, or he can get the keys. That's why when Marta brought it up, I was like, I'm with her. Mm-hmm. I'm with her. Look at your son. Mm-hmm. And nobody did.
Because he wouldn't have known where the keys are.
Well,
he wouldn't.
Also, dead mommy left him. And she took the other kid. Come on now. That's two strikes. I was like,
That, the dead, yeah. I will say, I think because having working with people with extreme autism, like the son has, they are really difficult at times when things are changing. And so I get where this is the one time I was like Team Pedro, because like what you were saying, Alma, the frustration is real. Like, you have to get this kid in this person in the car, and they don't want to go. Like, literally at work one time, I was like, we're doing a tornado drill. In any other way, and if it was real, I would be like, you have to get under the countertops. And I was like, I just want y'all to know that, like, if this were a real tornado and it was coming this way, I would pick you up and draw and, like, put you on the ground and roll you under this countertop if I needed to. You know, like, that is the frustration, is that sometimes we have to be going. And so I get Pedro's frustration with that. But this moment hit me, and I'm curious how y'all felt about this. In the car, the grandmother is telling Santino, that's his name, the youngest mm-hmm. one, right? Anyway, telling Santino about the rules of the rotten, essentially. The last thing, or one of the last rules she says, is you can't name it by name. Like, you can't say Satan or any of the other various names that people use for demons. I couldn't tell because I couldn't really hear it because everything was super low in that moment. And like the way that the older son spoke was very low and it was hard for me to hear. There was a subtitle and his face was the only one there. And he said the name, he repeated the name that the grandmother said. I think that is the moment he is possessed.
I think it's before then.
When he said that name.
Because they're easily susceptible and not following the rules. And she was so casual about it that she was singing the little song, you know, in kind of like a light way. But also it was interesting because it was like, this is how real it is that they exist, that they have it. And she has a little song that she's like, now, this is the song, so you know the rules, you know, like no guns to kill the demons and stuff like that. But it also points out that until it affects you, you just don't pay any attention, because I think that's why they had it set like in the rule. That happens to those people out there, you know, like the workers out on the out on the farms and stuff like that. That doesn't happen to the city. Even when he went to go see Sabrina and her husband in their home, she's like, that happens out there. You know what I mean? And I think that's also why nobody came. It took them a year to send a cleaner guy, which also is kind of badass, because I thought if I could have a job, it wouldn't be like, I don't really want to die to like kill demons or whatever, but wouldn't it be cool to be like a cleaner? You know, like they had special scientific equipment, you know, and they send them out, but that's how little they thought of those people. They're like, oh, well, if it spreads for a while, it's not a big deal because it's out there. You know, it's just those people, you know?
It's class. It's classism to be like, that's not us in our suburb. We're above that. It's the essential jobs have to go to work in the Covisha. Like, that's very much what it is. Like, that's their problem. We're too good. We're too comfortable. We're too safe. Meanwhile, a doctor dragged your daughter out of the house and you're about to get hit by a truck.
And that's why Pedro was trying to get his mother to stop when she was like, stop, stop, stop. Like, that section was the only time I was Team Pedro.
Again, though, he could have taken her aside to be like, look, Ma, we got demons.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, he could have said, this is why. I have seen this. She's dead. They're dead. This is happening. But he never put it, but like.
Yeah, because then she didn't even pack anything. She just thought she was going out with the family. She didn't even know the grandsons were going to be there. She was just excited to see them, you know?
And they let her take her like muscle relaxers, or because she's like dazed and fucked up. Like,
she took pills. She had her phone because he's like, we're not supposed to have phones. You didn't tell her not to bring her phone.
Listen, right. He frustrates me. But like, back to this son. Could talk about the ending, because we all knew he had this demon. But the look he gives his father, the side eye, sends me. I started giggling because it's so fucking shady. Like, yeah, Ader. You don't know it's me, though. I'm your son.
And it's so interesting because the scene before, well, maybe not the scene right before, but there's an earlier scene after you're pretty sure he's possessed, he walks in and just speaks perfectly to this grandmother. He's like, I'm cold. I'm hungry. And he like touches her shoulder. And you can see the grandmother's like, oh, fuck shit.
I just got chills the way he walked in straight and just like matter of fact. I'm hungry.
And then later on, the demon who's possessing this body is pretending to be the son again, but he knows. That was masterpiece. I was so, again, Pedro frustrated the fuck out of me. He knows that this Rotten wants him to kill him. He knows this. Like, he is aware, and yet he still takes this fucking piece of this machine and bashes the thing's head in, and then the demon child comes out, and I'm like, well, here we are. Thanks, straight men, for bringing about Satan into the world. Like, that tracks, actually. It's a fucking track.
Men are always chasing the wrong demons instead of going to therapy, and that's what this movie proves.
It's pretty much like he's like, if I don't have them, then fuck everybody else. Like, that's it. Like, everybody else, to the end of the world, cheers. And that's just pretty much how he treats it, because he doesn't care at that point. But he should have. It's like, I just don't. Oh, my God. He was so frustrating, especially in that part. Like, I'm yelling, like, don't do it. Come on. And Mirtha is begging him in the most. And the thing about that character, she was very professional, like, about what she needs to do the whole time. She's not being emotional about anything that she's telling him. She's like, don't listen to them. Don't go in there for the axe. Don't do that. And everything, because she is being like a teacher would be telling the student, this is what you need to do. Because if she gets emotional in it, if she gets overwhelmed, if she's scared or any of that, it makes them vulnerable. So she's like almost trying to teach him how to behave himself. And not for one second is he doing anything that she asks him to do. He just,
because he doesn't fucking listen. She literally tells him at one point when they're driving there, she's like, the reason it didn't come for me and it came for you is because I'm not scared to die. She literally tells him, I don't know about the translation, but like, literally, the subtitles told me.
It's also the reason she was like, don't go get your son, let your brother get your son, because the demons are feeding on your fear. They can smell your fear, they're going to enact on your fear. That's why they come in for your family, because you're afraid of losing your family. Then he lost his family because he wouldn't fucking listen. Like, again, she was very plain with this man. And like, even when they get to the school, and they're like, oh, the demon's over there. He's like, let's go. And she's like, that's too easy. And he's like, no, let's go. And she's like, that's too easy. And then a little girl shows up, and he was to fight the little girl and be like, tell us where it really is. Okay, let's go. It's like, it's still too easy. If they want us to leave, it's here. Come on, bitch. And he's like, oh.
Right.
Like.
And the fact that these children were fucking like eating lime. Lime. I eat lime all the time. But in my drink. But like, they're eating lye. And I'm just like.
Yeah, they have it all over. It's burning them. Pay attention. And I think. What they're trying to tell you too is like, once you're possessed, like, you're just possessed and that's it. There's no hope for you. And when the children are possessed, once they're possessed, that's why she's trying to like figure out what to do next, because each one of the kids is like throwing lies at her. She's trying to figure out what to do, but also not listen to them, because she knows that don't listen to them. She says that. That's like the rule. Little kids, they're bad. There's nothing you can do to even help the kids. So just ignore them and don't interact with them. And none of that. He just wouldn't listen.
That's how I treat kids, possessed or not.
They can see ghosts. They can see stuff.
Right?
But I keep doing that side eye too, because it's like when I was like, ah, I was so scared of him.
That side eye.
He did that side eye.
It was so funny, but so scary, because it's literally a wolf in sheep's clothing. Because it's just like, you don't know who I am. I'm your son. You can't hurt me.
He broke character. He broke character.
Eat the grandma.
But I think that it's really genius, because again, as I have worked with people that are on the far end of that spectrum, on the autism spectrum, their eyes will usually tell you what they're feeling. Like, they don't, a lot of times, especially like if they're nonverbal or if they are, you know, they have all these other things, it's hard to, because they're not saying anything, or if they are, it's like, or whatever, they're just making ticks. You have to look in their eyes. That's when you know that something is wrong. And so many times this actor, you could tell in his eyes that, like, you could just tell, you could see how he was feeling. I think this is some of the best autistic representation, especially, like I said, on the far end of that spectrum, that I have seen in film to date.
I hope that actor gets so many nominations, because usually people are like, oh, so-and-so didn't get any lines, but he was doing so much physical work. And even just the end with the cut of the eyes, and you're just like, oh, shit, y'all are still in trouble.
It was so strong. It was very, very believable that everything he was doing from the beginning when he's laying in bed, and it was just so, like, you could see everything. Like, how do you teach that?
Yeah.
How do you teach someone to do that? Because it was phenomenal.
And the whole, like, don't bite me. I'm not trying to get, like, that's real. Like, anyone that has worked with anyone or has a family member that is on that level, that's fucking real. Cause if you're trying to get them to do, they will do some wild shit.
Yes. I'm so like, having my neurodivergent family. It's like one of the things I've always learned not to get frustrated, but schedule is a huge thing. Yes. Making sure you don't mess your schedule. It's just like, so I, as soon as like they were doing that, it's like, you can't change their environment. It's so overwhelming. Everything he did was just, it was making his son more vulnerable to everything. He really just broke his world by taking him out of his home.
Didn't even get his medication.
Yeah, that was stupid. That was stupid. But I will say, in that environment, like, there are times when it's like, no, we have to do this. Like, there is no, I have to have you do this. Like, this is to save your life. So, like, it's such a, like, tightrope to walk of, how can I do this in a way, like, because usually when I work with people, if our schedule is going to change, I tell them weeks in advance, like, hey, just a heads up, in 2 weeks or in a month, this is happening. Like, I just want you to know. But when, like, demons come about, you can't really plan that shit. So it's really fucking hard.
What do you mean you can't plan for demons? That's not in the calendar they put out for this year.
Yeah, that's not in the...
demon drills. You need to have demon drills. Demon drills. Because there's demons in this world. People should be... The parents should be aware of what to do.
Listen, that's a good point. Demon drills.
Listen, that's why they're all up in the White House all the time. We have to start doing better precautions when it comes to demons.
But yeah, so I totally felt his frustration with that situation. Because, like, that is hard. Like, that is... You earn your money that day.
Listen, this was one of those things where there was no right answer, but also they weren't making answers that were not wrong at a certain point. Because he had me. I was with him in the first half. I was like, get your family, get the fuck out. Yes, yes, yes. And something happens after that. He decides to stay at Marta's, where he's like, I'm not going to give anybody any information on the group park. I'm going to keep holding it all in. And I'm just like, that's a bad idea. And that's why his son got his brain eaten by a dead mother. And like, his mother got eaten by his other son. Both his kids down, because he never said, hey, while we're staying here, let me catch you all up on what's going on.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's why when he was crying at the end, I was like, blame yourself. You did.
Yeah. And that's what's so great about the beginning too. Like you mentioned, it's like everything he's doing is what you should be telling people and they should be listening. But then you learn why isn't the ex-wife listening? Because they have this background and you're learning more of his background. And that's a lot to do with why he's not getting anything done. You know, because if it was anybody who didn't have, like that he had a great relationship with his ex-wife, she'd be like, okay, shit, let's go. You know what I mean? If they had kept up a cordial, you know, friendship after their divorce, but they don't. None of that exists. Even with his own mother, you know, he doesn't even tell her anything. It's all just a hot mess because of him. Like, he created this. He brings about the end of them. And even when he sees his son, you know, and that necklace, you knew that necklace was going to come out. You knew it. Cause I was like, that necklace is going to come up. I just knew that was going to be the thing. that comes out of her mouth. But even when it does, it's just, it hits the, you know, it comes out and it's like, wow. It's just like, I just, it was so much and it was awesome.
He ate her bones and all.
Listen, and then had ice cream for dessert. And also, why was he like, did.
He got his damn apple ice cream. He said, I'm going to get this apple ice cream and I'm going to like it, bitch.
Yeah. Yeah, I was like, go ahead, sorry.
I'm talking also how you come back and you don't go, where's my mom? Why is my son here by himself?
I'll take some granny with a side of apple ice cream, please.
Listen. I'm trying to watch my figure. So just one grandma today.
Dude, I'm checking on all my cats like 100 times a day, and this man can't check on his mom once. I'm all like, we're not even doing shit. I'm just in here like, oh my god, oh my god, you know what? And he's not checking on nobody.
Again, he's just like, it's over. We did it. He did nothing.
So his picture on IMDb does not have a beard and he is still attractive. That's talent. If you can be attractive with or without beard, that's Oscar worthy.
do you recognize Jaime, Jimmy from Aterrados, Terrified? He was in that one as well. He was the one, I don't know if you've seen that movie, but in Demian Rudna's last movie, Aterrados, he plays the neighbor who is taken, and he keeps setting up cameras because stuff's moving all around in his place, and he plays that character as well. But he also is in Satanic Hispanics with the Demian Rudna piece of that one, where he has the Rubik's Cube master. So he is well liked, I guess, by that.
That's why he looks familiar. I saw both of those movies. That's why he looks familiar.
He's in a bunch of stuff. I'm on his IMDb page.
No, I mean, he's a good actor. So, like, stay booked, stay busy.
Mm-hmm. But I'm also in love with that other movie, I know. Because all I was like, he's good. He's good. He's very versatile. And I like that he was in this in a different, like, he is in it the whole time. It was, like, really good to watch him to the end.
And I want to watch Terrified. We haven't covered that yet. We should.
I love that one. Another one that makes me, like, I screamed.
That's what where Jazz from Grown Up Scary was like, you've not seen this, let's watch this. And I didn't know what was happening because I never like didn't know what's going on. And I was like, ah! Oh, no, God.
Another Fuck Them Kids movie.
Yes. Whenever you see, is it Demian? I feel like I said
that. Yeah, like Demian, like that. But you can, you know, him, he mentioned that the thing about the kids in an interview. He was like, because why is the evil going to avoid the children? It would affect everyone.
I've been saying, if your kids are going to be in the movie, the evil can get to them too. And that's why I love that his movies, I think even Satanic Hispanic, I've only seen it the one time in a theater and I was drunk. But I think even that one, it's like the kids are getting it. The kids are catching it. Whatever's going around, it's for everybody. It's ready for eat for everybody. And the kids are like, on the first line.
So apparently he was in another movie from last year. Alma, have you seen Maria?
No, I haven't.
Okay, he's also in that. And it's so on IMDb, which I know, grain of salt, right? Evil Alerts has a 7-star rating. Maria has an 8.
Ooh. So, is it released in the U.S.? We'll have to look for it.
I don't. There's no plot. There's not even a plot on IMDb, but there are pictures. So, and it looks like a horror movie. So, I don't know.
It might be making a festival circuit internationally.
Maybe.
Because I feel like if it's got an 8, we would be talking about it. Because nobody knew when Evil Lurks dropped it was going to be the moment. Because it came out in October. So, we were out like, the new Hell House LLC. All the other October things are happening. And this movie was like, hi. And we were like, excuse you, record scratch. Revise all of our top 10 lists, I guess. My top 10 list, I thought I knew what was going to be happening. And then I saw this movie, like, oh no, everybody got to move. Everybody's moving one down. Some of y'all gotta go.
All right. Are we ready for hot takes? Everybody got your notes in?
Yep.
Let's get spicy.
Oh my god. Alma, what is your hot take?
Okay. I don't know if it's much of a hot take, but I really do think that Jimmy is a final girl. Mm-hmm. I think that because he survived all of his brother's bullshit, I think that he should get that status. Because, you know, he doesn't accomplish anything, you know, but he lived, therefore, through all of that, you know, at every step, I'm like, everybody's getting infected, everybody's getting killed, and somehow he manages to avoid it, and I appreciate that, and I think that is, like, you know, that's a huge achievement, trophy for him.
Same, and I foresee these two fighting once he explains how mom got eaten. Is because he couldn't be a person.
this is the final straw.
They will not be doing anything else together. This was their last hurrah. He's like, you got our mom eaten, you little bitch. And he hit him immediately. That's where the movie probably went while the credits are rolling. And we're just like, oh no, this is what's going to happen. They're fighting.
That's the sequel. The sequel, Jimmy takes over. He's the protagonist. Because he just beat the shit out of Pedro.
When you go catch these hands.
Because he just walks up to him and it's just like, I got to tell him this. And Pedro is just like devastated and everything. But he still looks like he's just going to comfort him. And it's just like, well, I didn't die.
No thanks to you. Because literally, his brother's trying to get everybody out of there. Which, his brother reminds me of when I play those games where you choose the ending and you get people murdered. And I'm always getting people killed in those choose your own games. I'm like, yeah, the quarry. Yeah, until dawn. Get everybody out of here. That's how his brother played this movie. And I'm like, this is your family. I respect you wanting to clear the board, but damn, these are your kids.
All right, Sheree, what's your hot take?
My hot take is this was the best movie Shudder gave us last year, and it might be the best they gave us in a couple years. I didn't pull all the receipts, but like we like a lot of the Shudder things. We love a few of them, but like this is cinema. Nicole Kidman suit lights. I'm here.
Yes, agreed. Agreed. In the movie theater, lighting that's mm-hmm. shining on her for some reason. Why did that happen?
Because she's a star. She's a star.
So my hot take is I don't think I've ever hated a character and loved a film this much before this movie. Like, equal parts. I love this movie and I fucking hate Pedro so goddamn much. And it's like, I don't think this has ever happened, because generally I'll be like, I love everything or I hate everything. This is like, I'm conflicted.
You just set your Paul Abdul scale.
Exactly. The worst, the best.
100%. But okay, let's get into our drinks, our ratings. Alma, how many drinks are you giving When Evil Lurks?
Five. I give, oh my lord. Thank you. I just got my charger. My laptop was dying, and I asked my daughter to bring it, and I didn't know she was standing there. Don't scare people when they're talking about scary movies.
Don't trust the kids.
Don't trust them.
Don't trust the kids.
You're not getting hit.
She's just standing there giving you the side eye.
Did you see that? She's the sneaky one.
All I saw was the hand, and I was like, oh.
I was like, oh. But yes, I give it five. I think it's flawless to me. Like it is. It's just perfect in all the ways that I love, you know, from the gore to the characters to the universe that it's in. And just like you described it, because that's the only thing that was really always kind of tipping the scales, is like Pedro was just like, he frustrates me so much. And then every time I think of something that is so negative about him, I'm like, but then the story wouldn't have developed the way it did. Mm-hmm. And nope. And if everybody was listening to him, then they would have all lived. And so all of it is just, it's just great. And I don't think that there's like the unanswered questions the way you were talking about, Trent. I'm like, I think that they answered them pretty good. And you don't need to answer every one of them, because there could be a sequel, there could be a prequel. But the best things sometimes lie in that gray area. Figure it out for yourself, people.
Right? Yeah.
Fill in the gaps, your damn self.
Right?
There you go.
Sheree, how many drinks are you giving it?
I'm giving it 4.5 drinks, 4 champagnes, and a shot of my favorite bourbon, because she's a damn good time. She's cruel. She's mean. She's fuck them kids every 10 minutes. Like, so many children did not make the end of this movie.
Well, they did. They were just possessed.
That one did make it, yes. But all the other ones, they even found a school of children to be like, y'all can't make it to the end. Let's go. This movie is my summoning circle. This is the movie I didn't know I needed. I love it.
So I'm giving this movie 4 tequila sunrises, because who doesn't love a tequila sunrise? It was that's actually my first mixed beverage I ever had, was a tequila sunrise. But yeah, I'm giving it 4 because I agree, Alma. This film answered the questions for me. Like, I didn't need more of this movie. The one thing I have that brought it down a little bit was just hated Pedro so goddamn much. So now what I want is a sequel or prequel that has a protagonist that I stan. Because y'all know I'm a stan person. I'm a Paula Abdul. I know. Sheree, you don't got to say it. No, I'm going to say it myself.
I was going to say it's interesting to have a character we hate, because how often do men we hate succeed in life?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Like, I agree with you, both of you, because, like, his bad decisions is what drives this movie forward. Absolutely. In like 4 stars, 4 tequila sunrises, I think this movie is incredible. It's just not, like, iconic to me.
You need to watch that dog scene one more time. Except yourself.
Get out of here. Get out of here.
That dog said kibbles and kids and left.
And I loved it. I just want a protagonist I can stand by.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. That kid, though, that little girl scared the shit out of me. I knew that she was going to be creepy, because I don't know why she gave me creepy vibes. But when she was standing there all like anew and perfect, even though her head looked like it almost came off, I was like, oh my God, that little kid shit.
We knew she was dating. We knew she was dating. She was back. We're like,
Yeah, mm-hmm. That is my one point against mom, Sabrina. Why the fuck did this dog, you saw your daughter get pulled out mm-hmm. this house by her head by a mm-hmm. dog. She is not going to come back to you pristine. Like, something's mm-hmm. going to be wrong. Yeah. Why did you trust her? And then when she was dancing around like her mom got mm-hmm. hit, I was like, that's the energy I'm going into 2024 with.
Well, she looked her mom in the face like, he's going to come back and kill you. And her mother was like, what? He's going to come back and kill you. And she just kissed her. I was like, no. That's when you get in the car mm-hmm. with your ex-husband and you hope he knows what he's doing. Because no.
I would quarantine that kid. No more kisses for you. No nothing. Get out of my face. I love you, but you stay over there in your room locked up or something.
Her PJs were pristine. Her hair, each hair in place. And I was like, no, that's evil. That's the work of Satan. I'm leaving. I would have not been there for the car to find me. I would have been with the ex-husband being like, we're a couple again. Hope we figure it out. I just have to say that, like, watching this go down on Twitter was fun, because after I saw it, like, Josh Conkle from Bloodhouse Pod watched it and tweeted, I just gagged. And I was like, the dog? Was it the dog? Also, welcome to the movie. Those are the 45 minutes to go. You're going to say a lot more shit.
Yes, yes. All right. Well, that is our thoughts on When Evil Lurks. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Thank you so much, Alma, for joining us. You know we love you so much.
Thank you. I love you all. Thank you for inviting me again. And I'm always here. We want a little bit more.
You know, we're going to get you. We're going to get you.
We got more Chucky whenever they drop those. So we'll be seeing you.
We do. They started filming.
They finished filming.
They finished?
Yeah. Like, Devin Sawa and Jennifer Tilly is gone. What else they going to do? When they wrap, okay. I'm like, so it's over? So it's done? Don't want to be on my screen. Who's editing? Right. Can you speed it up? What?
Truly. But you know we love you, and we can't wait to have you back. Next week, we'll be covering My Animal.
That's right, y'all. Because we are still saying, get behind me, 23, because that year is over. We're in 2024 now. We'll talk that year no more, but we'll talk to some of the movies, because some of them were good. Some of them are questionable, and some of them are wild. So we're going to cover some more of them. I think this month is a very nice hodgepodge of movies that happened last year.
Yeah, I like the diversity in the different movies that y'all are covering right now. Like every time I get one, it's like it's nice. It's nice to have a good like this, a little bit of this, a little bit of that.
Right? Because like you want a smorgasbord. You don't want to be all like, oh no, these are too many Cheetos. You want to get some Doritos in there. You got to get some chocolate every once in a while. Refill your beer. Like mix it up.
All right, y'all. Well, again, thank you everyone for listening. And as always, make sure that you stay fierce out there.
Bye.